It was our last day at our old office. We're moving into a new office on a Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Who's going to move the chairs?
Get your drinks ready.
I already got I got my bottle popped.
I've got a La Croix peach pear seltzer.
I've got Jason's Vineyard red table wine.
Who's going to move the chairs at your office?
Movers when we're not there.
Johnny Tabla.
What if it was the Johnny people Tabla that got fired?
You're fired, but if you want, you could move some chairs and we'll pay you like a freelancer wage.
Yeah. If you want to get started on some new skills.
That's how you do it, though, is like you kill it so hard, you move the chairs so well that they're like, whoa, who are these guys?
All right, you're back.
Oh, you're back as a professional chair mover. We might need some chairs moved around the office at some point.
Oh, you just move your stuff too, you know? And then it's like, oh, what are these extra chairs? I guess you guys could just stick around for a little bit.
We gotta put butts in these chairs.
Yeah. Empty chairs, that's a waste. Plus they could split the internet bill. And maybe go halvesies on food or something, maybe like a pizza.
Like a pepperoni pizza.
Yeah. What if the person that got fired owned the office dog? And then there was like a lot of tension.
Then it's dead.
The way that
they kill it.
The way, holy shit. The way that they, like, people have like custody over their property or offspring.
That's a good way of, if you own the office dog, like you're the one who feeds it and takes it home at night or whatever. That's a really good way to stay around, because then people are like, well, if you fire him, we lose the dog, because he's going to kill the dog when he goes home.
Hey, you haven't been working really hard. Like, you know, there's been a lot of problems in the office, whatever. You just say like, buddy was sick. And also he wanted to play fetch a lot, and he makes everyone else work better. So the less work I do,
the more work everyone else does.
And the more work I do with the dog, that trickles down, you know?
That's funny, because that was actually what Reaganomics is about.
Yeah, that's doggy drool. Like
trickle dog economics.
Yeah, trickle dog. That's tinkle dog economics. One person works for the dog, and then the dog works for the office by making everyone that much happier.
Yeah, I buy that.
That's why Republicans still really like Reagan. And that's why I got a job as
the office dog psychologist.
Yeah, I buy that. And
you better believe they're moving my chair over to the new place.
Yeah, I buy that.
Would you pre-order it?
Already did. Got the season pass and everything.
I pre-ordered it at GameStop, and I got the limited edition dog collar. It has war-style dog tags.
It shocks you if someone else touches your game so they can never steal it.
It has Nathan Drake dog tags, so that whenever your dog gets lost, people think its name is Nathan Drake, and they also think it's an adventurer, a Tomb Raider.
That's actually a cute name for a pet.
I don't like it.
Does it ship?
I don't like it. I want to name, if I ever got another cat, which I think I probably will, I would want to name it Morgana, after the cat from Persona.
All right. Is it weird too that Morgana is like a boy, but Morgana is not a boy name?
I think it might be a girl.
Do you think that's like the twist?
But it wouldn't be it would be a very bizarre twist, because cats have genitals. Like they could, like there's a part where Morgana's like, I wonder if I'm a boy or a girl.
I'm sorry, but cartoons don't have genitals. Not unless...
Not my cartoons. Not my cartoons, James.
Yeah, it depends what kind of cartoons we're talking here.
My cartoons have fully realized cat genitals.
Tell me more.
So in Persona 5, Morgana doesn't know if he or she is a girl or boy. So check out those genitals. See what's going on there.
All right.
It's not like Morgana. Morgana sits like a cat, so sometimes Morgana's like sits splayed out. Like while you're trying to make those lockpicks, like Morgana will just be up on the desk, just.
Yeah, but you wouldn't really
man spreading or female spreading or whatever Morgana is.
Cat spreading. No.
Cat spreading. Feline really spreading.
It's not like you see. It's not like you sex identify Monty every time he rolls over, right?
I guess not, because I don't know. Animals. I don't really know much about. Cat stuff, but I think it's hidden.
Yeah, no, it's not like a dog or a human.
But they do. It is like a Like, you would notice a difference between a male and female cat if they rolled over there. Don't female cats have, like, less hair on their tummy?
No one knows for sure.
That's our cat. I don't know about that being a trend among all cats.
Because the little
Sometimes the
baby kitten's
girls
got to
have
get
the
to the nipples,
yeah,
right?
and girls have the little pouch. Some they have like the flappy pouch after they get neutered.
The flappy
I don't
pouch.
know. I need a game about being a vet.
Oh, you got to have the new the hell was that name of that game? Trauma Ward?
Trauma center.
Trauma Center? It's a vet version of a trauma center.
But it's actually just animal doctors still doing surgery on humans.
But what if it's like the whole point of it is like people rush in like, "Doctor, I need to know if whether this cat's a boy or a girl." And the music kicks up and all the other vets come out and they're like, "We got to figure this one out." And they roll the cat over and then you have to like figure out whether you have to sex the cat.
That
Huh.
doesn't.
Well, thanks for sharing that idea. I could, yeah.
No matter what, that idea is already a Flash game somewhere.
Flash game. Yeah, we need new grounds for really
Someone, so yeah,
bad,
someone on Newgrounds already
really
made a
awkward
cat sexing
ideas like
game.
this. Honestly, this conversation is hell, and it reminds me of a bullet hell that I've been playing recently over the last half hour.
You
You want to hear
really
about it?
thread the needle there. I'll
Yeah,
reward you.
tell me about a bullet hell game you've been playing,
I'll
Sean.
reward you.
Have you ever heard of Gothic Lolita styled bullet hell arcade gem Death Smiles?
Yeah.
Doesn't it sound so familiar?
What do you know about it?
I've heard death smiles before.
Am I
That's
thinking
about
of,
all
is
you
it,
need.
wasn't they, weren't the enemies in like Killer 7 or something called Death Smiles?
That sounds
That was
true.
Heaven Smiles.
Okay.
That also sounds true.
That was like it was like a group, the Heaven Smiles, or like a cult or a gang kind of.
That also sounds true.
Well, explain us. Take us on a journey, Sean.
It's gonna be a short journey. So, Death Smiles is total classic arcade style. You get continues every time you die, but they do actually let you progress. It's not like limited to one life, and you have to make it through the whole game. I've died a lot. I've gotten a lot of game overs on my first run through, but I just keep pressing start and playing again. No, I keep throwing quarters inside my computer tower through the disk drive, and then I get another try.
No, they fit better through the SD drives, just saying.
I wonder where they go.
I have an old computer.
They go to the game developer, Ryan.
They go directly to the game. They go into the Ethernet
They
cable.
pop out. They pop out their disk drive,
That's a
like
fun
a ticket
cartoon thing,
machine.
is like you put the quarter in the computer and then you see a big quarter-sized bulge move up slowly through your Ethernet cable and into your router where it beams it into the sky. And then the game developer, wherever the game developer is, like in Japan, just like one quarter falls down on their desk and they're like, good.
Well, how else do you like email people, like stuff, like photos or? Like any other kind of attachment.
The same, pretty much the same way. I if I want to like send out a picture, I just shove the picture into my computer and then a big picture sized bump is in the Ethernet cable that travels into the modem, right?
I buy that. All this sounds very real.
Death Spirals lets you play as one of, I think, four or
There,
maybe
there,
five
there's four on the cover.
girls. Four girls, and they have infinite laser ammo,
Good
as do the
start.
enemies. And you're on an auto scroller set to thumping, electronic and wailing guitars. Enemies range from trolls to like eyes of the beholder.
I
Is
saw
that
a
what those
big
are called?
boar in the video the video I
Or just
saw.
beholders, I think, is the right.
Beholders. Big wolves, rocks, different stuff. You go through graveyards, forests, a volcano, a town. It's pretty cool. You mostly just keep shooting. These games, I find them like pretty fun for a little bit. They're really intense, and it feels good when you're doing well, but they also get really hard. Like I'm glad that this one lets you just keep continuing, because I played Ikaruga on GameCube. And I really liked that game. I bought it just because I was hearing about how hardcore it was and how it might be like really rare someday. And it was just, oh wow, like no one could believe that it came out. It was like one of those weird
Yeah,
games.
that was it. I remember that game. It was you could shoot two colored lasers depending on which color your ship were. So you needed to constantly be switching between to
It was like,
defend against missile attacks.
yeah, it was like white and black. And if you were white, then you could like absorb white damage and kill like black enemies. And if you were, oh boy,
I know,
if you
Sean.
were
That's what I was
black,
thinking.
if you were black, you could absorb black damage and cast your dark magics to kill the white enemies, which were mostly just like spaceships. But that game was really cool, but I never saw the end because you had like just a limited amount of continues from the start, and it just became really, really difficult for me, like towards like the later levels. I don't know. Have you guys ever played like many of these like shmup or like bullet hell games? Like
Not
they're really,
really. I played some of the Toho games.
yeah, it's like super arcade, you know, like 20 minutes, you feel exhausted,
Nier
but it's
had
fun to like
cool
test your
shmup
reactions.
moments. Nier is like half action RPG and half shmup,
Did
and
you
the shmup moments were pretty good.
ever play Sin and Punishment on the Wii, or I think the original one was like N64,
No, but I heard
maybe, or
really good things about
GameCube?
the Wii one, actually.
Yeah, those games were fun. Those were fun, pretty varied, like shmups that were like very doable by myself. I can't really get behind the chasing of the high scores in these games, but I just like the overwhelming like visual action and intensity. And also they just have like a weird style. Like it doesn't really matter what the enemies are, you know? They could be anything. Like there are just like particle effects coming off of them, and there's no story at all. So it's cool to just see like the wacky stylings. This one is like a cheesy Castlevania or something.
Huh.
Not sure if I would recommend it because I haven't cleared it yet, and I've only played with one of the characters, so I can't tell you like if they feel that different or if it's just like a visual effect, because everybody has a magical ability that wipes out all the basic enemies, or
A
like
bomb.
heavily, yeah, a bomb, yeah, or some it
Yeah,
heavily
I know some
damages the
stuff, right?
bosses, yeah, and it clears the it clears the screen, so when you're in a tight spot, which is like every second, you can get out of that by wasting one of your magics.
It makes me want to get back to Nier, but I feel so disinterested about that game.
How, when did you quit? Because when Persona came out?
Yeah, around that time.
Yeah.
I have like 15 hours in it. I'm not sure how much more to go before I get to an ending, but DLC came out for that today.
For Nier? Oh yeah, it's got a pretty like complicated title.
Yeah, I mean it's just numbers and letters, but if one of your problems with the game was not seeing enough of 2B's butt, then they solved that. So there you go.
I'm sure
Really?
that's a pretty large audience though, right?
That is a that Venn diagram is only a circle because people who bought Nier probably largely bought it for 2B.
I don't know. People like Nier in general, and I feel like Nier didn't always have 2B in it, right?
I feel like a lot of people who bought this that bought Nier Automata bought it for 2B, for 2 booty.
Is that why you got it?
Not really, I guess. I mean, if that were the only thing I bought it for, I probably would have finished it.
Would you tell Anne?
I can't tell Anne.
Ooh. If Anne finds out, you get the bad ending.
She doesn't give you
Kirby already
chocolate.
feels like he had the bad ending.
Kirby already got the bad ending. That's what you get for trying to gallivant.
I wasn't gallivanting.
You were gonna.
I wasn't gallivanting, and that's the problem, but
Your plan was to gallivant, wasn't it,
it was
Ren?
not. But the in Persona 5, there is a different relationship kind of system. In other Persona games, basically all the girl social links would end at like would at 9 or 10 become relationship, would become like romantic at that point. And it was fine. Like, you just got to see the end of all the stories as if the main character like dated that girl basically. But it's not like a dating thing. Like, you don't invite them to go get food or whatever, or do any of that kind of stuff. But in Persona 5, you actually like have to choose whether or not you want to date someone. And it was like, I was like late in the Anne social link. Like, I think it's like 8 or 9, and Anne's like, hey, I like come with me to do this thing. I want you to, like, you and my friend that almost killed herself, we're gonna all hang out. And I did. And then at the end of it, Anne is like, I don't know if I'm strong enough to be a pillar, be like her, like the rock for my friend that has such a hard life. And you have a choice whether or not to say, like, think about like I'll be there for you, or we'll all be there for you, or something. And it's like, think about your answer. So I was like, you know what, like Anne's cute, I'll say I'll be there for you. So then I said I'll be there for you, and then the character just goes over and hugs
Oh,
Anne, and then it's like,
Kirby, you just keep casting your pole, waving it around. But then when you finally get a bite, you get scared, don't you?
no, I mean, then
Oh,
it's like,
she's cute. I'll smooch her up.
I
I'll
wasn't gonna
flirt
smooch. I
with
didn't want to
her. I feel
smooch
like
her. I
as
didn't even
soon as
smooch her up then. Like, the
I'm
main
like,
character
as
didn't even
soon as I
smooch.
would see that decision, I would just turn off the console and be like, all right, like, there have been a bunch of times in Persona where I'm like, I've made a mistake, and I just turn off the console and I'm like, all right, I'll start a few days ago,
I
whatever.
thought that I could, but it was like the it was like I want to say August 30th that it had that this that
All
the
right,
hug
yeah.
the famous hug happened, and August 17th was my last save, because between that time I hadn't done any. It was like post dungeon, so it's like,
Sure, yeah. No specifics.
it was like post dungeon, so I was in that lull where it's like you're just making choices about who you want to
You're
hang
just
out.
like eating cheeseburgers,
Yeah, you spend
essentially.
a lot of time at Big Bang Burger taking the chat the Big Bang Burger challenge.
Oh, is that what you call it? I'll be there for you, Anne. Boom, one more notch on your Big Bang Burger challenge belt.
Oh, look at you. You're a first mate now.
It's so
Way to
unfair.
go.
It's
You
so
think you're
unfair
just
because it's
gonna
like,
get all your girls together and just make a big ground meat patty out of them?
it's so unfair because it's
That's
like, I have
cheesy, man, with these
the
cheesy
previous
lines.
persona knowledge, and it was like, do you want to hug? And it was like, do you want to say it's you or the team? And they were like, think carefully about this. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna say it's me. And I'm there. I'm the only one who's there for
Wow,
her
you're
right now.
selfish, man.
And then my character goes over and hugs her, and then it's just like, all of a sudden there's a screen prompt that's like, you are in a relationship. She will be angry at you if you hang out with other people. And it's like, what? No. I'm looking at Makoto and Tamaki, and now Anne comes from nowhere, and it's like I'm just accidentally in a relationship with Anne.
I'm glad they paired that like threatening jealousy that she has with like the immediate, like, final ultimate suddenness of the formation of the relationship. She's
Yeah,
like,
imagine,
you
like,
touched me. You touched me in your
it's over.
mind.
We
It's
we're
over.
married.
Don't talk to anyone else.
You hugged me. We're married. It's over.
What if that started a challenge mode where your party was just you and her for the rest of the game?
That's what it feels like. It's
You
like you it's like you can imagine you're at work, you're cutting the thickest cheeses after a long day, and
Is that what you call these rules?
you're the oh my God, Sean. You can't
Sorry.
you can't be so you can't be like this. And you're there with a female coworker, and she bursts into tears, like, I don't know if I can cut another cheese. And then you have the choice in your mind. You think, I can either say, do it for the rest of Whole Foods, or you could be like, well, I'm here to help you out. But then you say, well, I'm here to help you out, and then your body on its
No,
own,
it would be do it for me.
yeah, you'd say, do it for me. And then you walk over on with your body on its own, not making this choice, and you hug her, and then she looks up at you and she's like, we're dating now. You can't talk to other people now. It's like, what? Nothing happened between us. You can't. That's not how that works. I want to hang out
Yeah.
with Makoto now. She was
You
always the
should tell
cutest.
Makoto what a weirdo that Anne is.
It's gonna blow up in my face on Valentine's Day if I do. But I was still like, I'm still considering man whoring it up. Like at the very least, I wouldn't like create a harem situation, but I'm thinking like, you know what? Maybe I'll hug Makoto, go into a relationship with Makoto, and then on Valentine's Day I'll hang out with Makoto, and then Anne will be there the day after to be like, "What the hell, man? We were supposed to hang out because I thought we were dating, but I found out that you're hugging other girls and telling them to do things for you." And then I'll
What
maybe
if
just be
you
like, "Yeah,
find
it's fine."
out though? What if this backfires and you just find out that they're all like really like grossly jealous and they all turn on you by being like, "Oh, you think you can, hug my friend and then tell her that you don't want to be with her anymore so you can be with me?" Like that's messed up. We ride together.
It's not
Ladies get
fair.
information.
It's also not fair because some of the cutest waifus come later in the game. Like, that's not fair to spring that
That's
on
how they
me.
get you.
That's
They, you know,
not fair
I.
to spring that on me, right? Like, don't you think that's
Do you
not
think
fair?
that's life, dude? Do you think some of the cutest waifus in my life aren't going to come later on in the game?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But you can't break up with them in Persona. You can break up with them in real life. You can be like, "I'm done hugging you. I want to hug Makoto. I want to hug Makoto."
Suppose that is true.
It actually bummed me out so much because it was like, I looked up online immediately after that threatening message, and I was like, "Wait, can you not date multiple girls like you can in other personas? Does it count like dating instead of just like you hook up with them at the end of the social link?" And like looked into all this stuff, and it was like, "Yeah, it's totally gonna blow up in your face if you do that." And then I was like, "What the hell, man? Now I'm stuck. Me and now I'm stuck with Anne. It's ride or die now with Anne."
Hook, line, and sinker.
She got me, and she's one. I like there were so many that were above her in my mind, like Tamaki the doctor, who's awesome, the teacher, of course Makoto, just so many better, and now I'm stuck with Anne. It's me and Anne from now on.
That's rough.
I'm hoping that I really am hoping that she wins me over in real life. Like if she shows up at my house and is like, "Hey, I gave you I found all this," and gives me a bunch of like soul food or something, it would be like, "Okay, all right, I need that soul food. I'm
Or
always
she's just
running out
like,
of
"Hey,"
HP."
or she shows up to your real life house and she's like, "I'm real. That's it."
Well, then that
Wait,
would
what do you
win me
mean
over.
soul food? Is that part of the game, or you mean like fried chicken and
No, like
stuff?
food for your SP soul food, like different soul things are give you your magic back while you're in dungeons.
And that's what it's really all about. It's all about maintaining your SP in dungeons.
Well, do you have a girlfriend in
What are
Persona
the
yet?
what of the dungeons are you at right now? I know you said that last time I was talking to
I'm at the end of three.
that's the bank, right?
That's the bank.
Okay.
So I'm at the end of that, and I don't have any budding relationships.
There's a cute waifu after that one too. So like they're just gonna spring all these waifus on you.
I'll be patient.
I thought you were dating up that teacher though.
No, but she's cleaning my room, doing my
The
laundry.
teacher has awesome social link stuff where she lets you screw around in class if you hang out there enough. I think that's awesome.
It's cool because you're essentially like giving yourself more time in the day, right?
Yeah, because you get the option to just read a book or make lock picks or like anything while you're in class. You're just like, "Nah, I'm gonna make a bunch of lock picks in front of your face."
So it seems like she's one of the best ones to like max out early. Her and Mishima are really the pocket picks.
Mishima. Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah, he gives you a lot of good bonuses too.
I'm a little apprehensive to talk about Persona because the thing about it is like the mechanics. Once you learn the mechanics, the game doesn't like change too much. There's a lot of variation in the dungeons about like aesthetics and the way that like the dungeons get puzzly. But for the most part, you sort of like hit the ground and you're running, and they sort of layer stuff on more and more. The upkeep on personas gets more complicated as you increase your bonds with the prison wardens, I guess they would be, the prison guards.
Oh, I screwed that
And
up. I'm like way behind on the prison wardens.
But aside from that, yeah, I'm apprehensive to say too much because so much of the game's pull is really in the story and in just like learning about the characters. It's pretty much just like watching a great TV show.
I really like love the narrative. It might be one of the most engrossing video game narratives I've ever played. And I love the dialogue actually. Like I think they really nail every character having a super unique way of speaking and thinking about things that is so consistent throughout. The next dungeon I really like a lot, and I think
That's
it's
interesting, because the one the, I if by next I think you mean the fourth dungeon, my next dungeon, which John Getz said is his least favorite dungeon.
I'm trying to think why that would be true. I think the concept behind it is one of the coolest. And there's really good moments in it, and it really has been one of the most impressive things I've seen so far with the narrative.
Well, I guess we'll do a 2 out of 3 vote, and we'll see where I fall.
Yeah, I'm just loving Persona. I'm 50 hours in right now.
How far do you feel that is?
It's like a little bit, it's close to halfway.
Wow, that is a really long game.
Yeah,
Is there a lot of extras?
I'm in the beginning of the second school year.
Is that without extras?
Without like new game plus stuff. And what do you mean?
Optional stuff, I mean, just
Nothing
are
in
you?
Persona is really that optional. Persona is time based.
That's really
So
like maybe one of the longest games that I've ever heard of, if not the longest then.
like Persona is time based, so there is X amount of stuff you can do. It's not like another RPG where you could say, at before the final fight, I'm gonna screw around and finish all the stuff up, because like you can't. That's not how that works. Like anything you decide to do in Persona moves the day forward, so you have X days before the game is over. So you can't really do like you can't say I'm gonna complete all the social links and tie up all the things, because it's like you literally couldn't do it in a single playthrough because your character wouldn't have the time to do that.
I kind of like that because in most games I would feel like motivated. I could be like, oh, I don't want to end the game before I see everything. But at the same time, doing that stuff like towards the end of the game, sometimes you just want to wrap up the game and finish it. But
Also, you're conf sorry.
it leaves you feeling like kind of uneasy to like finish a game. You want to get your money's worth. You want to see
Yeah,
everything.
I totally
But
agree
you
with
know
you.
that if you go back, like you're never going to go back once you beat the game. And like sometimes you know that. So I like Persona for kind of saying, okay, the game is this long, and once you pass this much time, like that's it.
Also, it doesn't let you overdo it,
Friend of the
overpower
show,
it.
Ryan Galloway, was playing Horizon, and he was at the perfect thing that happens in a lot of games where he was at like but it was like pre-final fight where it's like I know this is the last thing. The game is telling him like tie up what you want to tell up tie up before the end of the game, and he was feeling like I'm really close to 100%ing, but I don't really want to 100%, but I'm gonna feel weird. And like it's gonna be like a scar, like an OCD scar for me if I finish the game at like 98% or 95% or something like that. So he felt like he really had to finish it because he wanted to play Persona as well. He's like, I want to finish Horizon and play Persona, but I can't right now because I'm really close to finishing Horizon and 100%ing it, but I don't want to 100% it right now because I'm like bored with the last stuff to do. And yes, I do appreciate that Persona is time-based. It's like there's X amount of stuff you can do. Everything you do is moving you towards the end of the game, where there is a finite point at the end of the game, like a finite date or month that is the end of the game, and you can't do more stuff, you can't have extra months, you can't decide you're gonna like go back and max out all the social links. Like you just have time, you have to decide with all of your waking moments like what you will spend time doing, and I like that.
And I think that, yeah, with the way that Persona 2 is structured, it actually would motivate me more than another game to check out what a new game plus has.
Yeah, I was actually kind of thinking about that already, especially with the and stuff going on right now in my life and in my character's life, where it was like, you know what, maybe I would be more interested in playing it again and trying a harder mode, not only to see stuff I didn't see the first time, but you know, gotta date Makoto. Gotta see what that's about. What's she up to? Not Anne. I don't care what she's up to. I know what she's up to.
Wait, so why'd you say it was the perfect moment to be at the end and then feel like you have to
It's the
like
perfect
clean up,
ex it's
clean
the
your room.
it's the perfect
Oh, perfect example.
example
Okay.
of why it's good that Persona has a finite ending and there's so much you can do in it, because Persona would never give you the feeling of like, I haven't 100%ed everything and I want to go finish up, tie up all the loose ends, because it's like you can't tie up all the loose ends. You don't have the time to do that. And
Yeah,
everything you're doing is moving you towards the end.
I feel like that's really like some of the most awful pacing and like worst ways to deflate the adventure. It happens in a lot of JRPGs, maybe other games too, like Horizon, or maybe you could think of some others, but like I know especially in Final Fantasy, it's like you could finish the story. Or you could do all this stuff that will like severely overlevel you for the final like hour or two of the main narrative, and then kind of like add in all of these like challenge bosses or optional like areas that don't amount to anything in the narrative. So like they feel really like just kind of like empty. And then they also, if you participate in them, they trivialize the end of the story. But then you feel like, why wasn't the end of the story like the hardest, most exciting part? It's like a weird separation
Yeah,
that
I like post game and like really hard content in the post game. But
yeah,
yeah, it's weird
just
when there's like side content that's like different.
you just so it can give you like that extra hit of the game.
I mean, also so that it could be the most difficult stuff, so that that's when you can spend all the time over leveling and doing stuff preparing for the post game, rather than feeling like you need to
But
do that in the true end or
don't
whatever.
you think that there's like a catch 22 that if the post game like has some satisfying like draw to it, like by like these games really, these JRPGs in particular, they're not really, I don't feel, about like the challenge.
Yeah, I know, but also most JRPGs aren't even about the narrative anyway, because the narrative sucks generally. Like
Okay. That's fair. You know what I was gonna say, like
a la I Am Setsuna.
the catch 22 is that like if you want to do it, then you feel like you have to and it should just be part of the main game. And if you don't want to do it, then like why is it there as supposedly the most challenging or interesting thing anyways?
Yeah, I feel like I'm so impressed with Persona again. All over again, because it's like Persona, not only does it have,
Jesus.
in my mind, the most interesting combat system that is the most punishing and brutal, but it has the most interesting narrative. Like they manage to get everything right in a JRPG in a way that like most JRPGs are this very bland telling of good and evil, and like the difficult that the triumph of good and evil, and then it's like that where you overlevel and you completely take away any of the difficulty and content, and you have every character just set to like, this is the attacking person, they just attack, or this is the mage, their most strongest spell is fire, I just keep casting Magilao. Bufula.
Bufula.
I think maybe I'm
Oh.
thinking about it, and maybe one of the reasons why John doesn't like the next dungeon is because it's the one that introduces instant kill.
All
Like
right. Well, I mean,
the next dungeon
I
is
have instant kill abilities already.
the next dungeon is the one where enemies start using instant kill, and that's a really big staple of Persona, is like just instant kill spells. So you have to like I it's the part of the game where you most have to start building a set of personas that have good strengths and weaknesses against the current strengths and weaknesses of enemies in the dungeon, so that you know when an enemy is attacking you, you know, like, I have to switch to this persona because they are immune to these kind of things. Like this one enemy constantly casts light instant death, Hama, and I have a persona that's immune to both light and dark, so it immunes the two types of instant death spells. So I have to like always, whenever that enemy was on screen, I had to set my main character to the persona that makes me immune to light instant death, because they would target my main character and would instantly lose all my progress that upped at that point. So,
How's that? That
what?
sounds really frustrating. Just a really boring binary frustration.
No, because most of Persona is about not getting hit.
Yeah, it's I mean the thing in Persona is like when you get hit with that instant kill spell, I'm telling you the way out of it. And when you get hit and killed with the instant kill spell, it's like, well, why did you do that? Like, why weren't you smarter? You knew that enemy does that. Why weren't you wearing or why didn't you use a persona that is like resistant or nullifies that type of instant kill? Like
Yeah,
that's where a
I
strat
guess
like
it's not that much different than like a strengths weaknesses in like rock, paper, scissor-esque games like Pokemon or Fire Emblem.
Well, the
But it
thing is, yeah.
just sounds lame to be like, oh, this person kills me instantly, unless I just play this guy that can't.
So
So
that's
that's
like
that.
the thing about Persona is that Persona isn't about each individual fight. Persona is about your overall ability to move through a dungeon intelligently. So in Pokemon, they have things like gym leaders where it's like, okay, so you only need to worry about this one final battle with the gym leader. It's not an endurance run, it's not about how well you can survive up to them. It's just about this one single fight.
Yeah, you can in Pokemon, like you can clear the trainers up to the gym leader, then
Yeah.
Walk out of the gym, go rest at a Pokemon center, and then walk back to the gym. And in
You might
Persona,
get made fun of though. They
not
know.
if they don't know. And
They know.
in Persona, it's like it's a lot of stuff that James is saying because you're managing, like, you're going into a dungeon, with the best team equipped for the enemies that has spells that the enemies will be weak to. Plus
And
your
baton pass.
plus yeah plus you got your baton pass going on, plus you
You
gotta
gotta
have
have you gotta bring your best friends into your dungeon in your vanguard.
yeah
this sounds like a weird metaphor for James's office moving buildings and getting rid of two people
No,
because
one of the people that we lost, one of them was my favorite person in the office.
sometimes you have to break up and stop hugging someone who can't survive instant death.
That's not a part of the game, though. It's like that's the problem. It's like if I could stop hugging Anne, then I would be there. I would break her heart right away to be like, "No, I'm sorry. It's all about Makoto."
Anyways.
But yeah, in Pokemon, it feels like awkward that like they have like these big fights that are supposed to be so defining. But then it's like, I choose the grass Pokemon and he instant kills your water Pokemon. And it's like that to me is trivializing. And in Persona, when you're up against like the equivalent of a gym leader, which is a boss, they're super complicated and intricate fights with mechanics that you're not going to see anywhere else in the game. That feel good and that feel like an entire day's worth of effort that you put into it. Because in Persona, the other thing is that if you move through a dungeon inefficiently, you're losing time. And that's time that you don't get back. So if you're using too much SP to deal with enemies, if you're using too much mana to deal with enemies, you don't get that back.
Yeah, but
And you
also
move inefficiently through and you're on a deadline.
yeah, and also your starting lineup gets tired and they miss more, get crit more, or their
Wait,
overall, like,
really?
yes.
I thought that the only thing that mattered was I didn't know that. I had no idea about that. Really?
Yes,
Is there
that's the way it's been in other personas, and you'll notice that if you start traveling with a even if you were travel with a team, use items to boost their SP so they can keep fighting. And if you stay in a dungeon for way too long, like if you b bought enough or somehow got obtained enough like soul food stuff that you could try and do a dungeon all in one night, it wouldn't matter because like
That's what I do.
by the time that the characters start getting tired, they start getting hit by more spells and being worse overall.
I
I
did
mean,
all of Dungeon 3 in one night.
I try and do as much as I can in one night, but there gets up to be a point where the characters, even if they have the SP, start just being weak. They do
And
like
they don't
I think they
really,
do
they
less
don't, there's no
damage and
meter for that. You just have to like talk to them and figure it out.
yeah, when you go to the save rooms and you talk, the characters will say stuff like, I'm really low on energy right now and I want to go back.
That was such a good explanation for my misunderstanding about how like the battles work and the dungeons. But does it strike a balance where this stuff feels like truly like pressuring and engaging without being frustrating? I mean,
I think it does, yeah.
Kirby talks about the characters getting tired, but then James didn't even notice. I mean, that's like, do I want my characters to get tired? Is it it's nice to just be like, oh, I guess like this is the part I recognize that I could risk and push a little further, or just head back and come back the next day.
I mean, now that I think about it, like, and I reminisce on it, it sounds right. Because I'm like, man, this is getting harder, and I can't figure out why it's getting harder. I thought maybe these enemies have more agility,
Don't
but
they
I guess
talk
not.
loudly? Don't your characters complain and stuff?
They do. When you go to the save rooms, the characters will tell you they want to go home.
But yeah, I think that the balance is actually really good, and I feel like other games have failed to hit this balance. It's actually weird how the game that is most like Persona is maybe Fire Emblem, and I hate Fire Emblem, actually. I don't think Fire Emblem is very good at all. One might say that Fire Emblem has a more complicated battle system,
No, I wouldn't say
but I
that.
actually think that it isn't. It's kind of like very simple and not as complicated as it should be.
I mean, Fire
But it's
Emblem,
one of
you
the only
literally do
games.
just move the character to the enemy and tell them to do their attack.
But it's one of the only games that I could think of that really has the idea of like linking up in social relationships and increasing relationships between characters to increase their battle abilities. But it doesn't feel there's things that are off about it.
I would say to like try and create a parallel in Sean's mind that I'll go back to the famous example, and that's Dark Souls, where there are places to save and to take a break in the dungeon. And if you do get killed, then you can take the knowledge of like if you get killed, then instead of thinking like you lost a bunch of time and you lost all that experience and like the levels you were gonna get, you think like, well, now when I fight those enemies, instead of having to try out and figure out what their weaknesses are, I know right away. And you know the answers to puzzles, and you know the answers to stuff like that. So it's the same kind of thing where punishment is you get death, but you can take the information you learned from that failed playthrough to help you the next run.
Yeah. And I've replayed a whole week before. I've been like, oh shit, I wasted my night. I thought that this would be more useful and efficient, this social thing that I'm trying to do. But it turns out that I don't have the right gift, or I don't have the right persona equipped to give me a boost in the social link. So I'm going to restart the week. And I do the week, and the whole week ends up being better, because I know what's going to happen on each day and I can sort of plan for it. And I think that in New Game Plus, that's going to be kind of a cool thing if I come back to the game just like thinking about how to maximize it. But I actually think the game is really well balanced, and it's actually impressive to me thinking about how much needs to be balanced for the game. Like in terms of like the game considering where certain social stats could be at any time, where certain relationships could be at any time, what personas you might have to shortcut your way through certain social links, and just like how many systems are interacting with one another, and the fact that the game doesn't feel broken is pretty marvelous.
I don't think I'd be able to restart a week.
I
Yeah,
mean,
it only
it
takes like
depends. Like,
10 minutes if you rush through the dialogue.
yeah,
Oh, okay.
it really depends, because it's like the stuff that takes long is the dungeon stuff, and if it's stuff like you're doing a week where you're just trying to do social link stuff, like that doesn't take very long at all. But I there's been so many things that I'm impressed with this Persona game and how improved it is over other Persona games. One of the things that I've been like the most impressed with is how much more fluid social link stuff is and hanging out with people is, because especially by the summer, cool stuff starts happening where characters will like invite themselves over to hang at your house, and they're like, I'm gonna be here, no pressure if you don't want to hang out, but like I just want to relax all day in the coffee shop and like read manga or something. And you can choose to like, well, if you're gonna be here, then I'll hang out with you and we'll read manga all day to that day. And there's also a lot of cool things going on where the social links are like actually interacting in really cool ways. I don't know if you've ever been out with a character and then another character will come up to you and hang out too. And you can, like, through dialogue, you can also like increase multiple characters' social links at the same time, which is really, really cool. I like that a lot. I also like just like the idea of it being more dynamic in that like you have a friend group, but you decide to hang out with one friend, and then you're there in Akihabara, and then another friend's there like shopping, and they're like, "Do you want to hang out too?" And now you're hanging out two people.
Whoa, can you get social links for both people at once?
You get the social links, like especially by the time that it's like later on, I'm sure you know, like you'll go to characters that say they don't, they're
I don't
not.
know anything.
You know how it's like it'll say that the character you don't think your bond with the character is gonna go up yet?
Yeah.
That's based on like time and an invisible meter that it sometimes
Yeah.
you have to hang out with characters, and you know those like blue points that pop up over their head if you say nice things or give them a gift they like? Like
Yeah.
it's about that, where it's like you'll be hanging out with two characters at the same time, and by your dialogue choices, you can choose to like say nice things to one character and make like one of them happy or another character, or if you like do good dialogue choices, you can make them both happy at the same time. So it'll like make it so that both of them, by the next time you would see them, would increase their link rather than just helping out one.
Interesting. I think we should move on from Persona because I'm getting too excited. We have not talked about the Overwatch event.
Have you guys played a lot of it? I haven't really gotten a chance to play that much of it because you guys haven't been around, and it's a PvE thing, so like I'm less excited to jump on and play PvE when you guys aren't there. Especially since I've seen like bad results with pickup groups for this event.
I played all the way through it once on normal in the regular mode where you have to pick Reinhardt, Mercy, Tracer, and Torbjorn.
I
And
played through it just that one time with you as well.
I've played it once in the no, like pick any heroes mode on normal, and we failed.
I really continue to like the PvE stuff a lot in Overwatch.
This one is longer and less exciting than the zombie one. I'm not super into it, but I would be interested in trying it, especially like over comms, like maybe with you guys, try to do like one of the harder ones,
I think we
maybe
got
like think
something to
about
do
it a
after
little bit,
this.
but yeah. But it's neat though. I mean, I like the skins. I very much welcome the PvE. It's pretty exciting. I just
The zombie one did have something about it. Like, the zombie one, especially on the
It
high.
was quicker, flashier, and more like arcade, like
Yeah, on the higher
boom, boom,
modes,
boom,
it got
like.
so cool because it got to the point where you really had to. Like we started to figure out stuff like whose ultimates were best against different bosses and like when you save stuff for and because it's all like wave based, you find out stuff like the where the enemies spawn, so like which areas need covering in the beginning. So it just got very like technical and strategy based at some point. And with this one, it's like pretty hectic and it's long, so it's like you're always just clearing waves of enemies, and I'm not as much thinking about like gotta save my ult for this or gotta wait for this spawn right here because that's where those the big enemies that blow up on the door are. But
Well, there are big enemies that blow up on the payload.
there are but I do like it a lot. I always like Overwatch PvE. I don't know if I like the skins as much though. I think it's not that I don't like them. I'm happy with them because I've wanted more like historic Overwatch skins. Like I wanted characters to have just their straight up Overwatch armor. I like Blackwatch McCree and Genji and stuff like that. But we didn't get a Zarya skin again. I mean, she wasn't in Overwatch, so that makes sense, I guess. But I was hoping for something. And I don't know, like the characters that got good skins, it's like they already had good skins anyway, so it's not like it was a huge gain.
Yeah, they're not
Yeah.
really that exciting. They're
Like,
okay
I
looking.
mean, the Mercy skin is good skin.
I like the Mercy one a lot, but it's like she already has Witch Mercy, which kicks ass. And then, like, Genji has Oni Genji, which kicks ass. And Reinhardt has multiple awesome skins, has the Eichenwald skin. And he has the skin from the Chinese New Year, from Lunar New Year. So like again, it's one of those times where like the characters that got skins always get skins and have really good ones already to choose from. So it's like it wasn't like any of the characters I got a skin that was like this is the skin for me from now on. because I feel like those characters already have pretty sick skins to choose from.
For me, I just don't like the repetition of the single player stuff as much.
You mean the PvE?
Yeah, of the PvE.
Just in general, like this one capturing point, then the next point, then the next point.
I mean, but any of, like, I didn't like the wave-based stuff either. Like, there's just something about doing, like, in any single-player game, I don't like really repeating stuff. I do it in roguelikes because it's different every time, but I don't know. I'm not crazy about it.
Yeah, I want a mode that is more like Halloween, the Halloween thing, but I want it to have, like, random elements, like random modifiers and stuff like that. Like, after a wave, you get a modifier that like hurts you, that hurts or helps you, and on the harder modes you're getting the ones that hurt you and stuff like that, like different, like more unique enemy spawns where instead of having a specific set of enemy spawns, you're getting a specific set of like boss spawns, so it could be different things rather than always being the same thing. Stuff like that would mix it up a lot. It does make me think though, if we're gonna play Overwatch, we should play Mystery Heroes, which is still my favorite mode.
I think it's a nice change of pace. I agree it is repetitive. After I played like the one regular, and then I tried to do the pick any hero that you want mode and failed, I was just kind of like, is this really what I want to be doing right now? I don't know if it's very fun. I don't think I could do it again. And then I just like closed out. That was like 2 days ago. But I don't think it needs to be too much more than that. I mean,
yeah,
perfect it.
Did you guys see that Genji was announced for Heroes of the Storm, and they're also introducing Hanamura, which is going to be Heroes of the Storm's first payload map.
No, I did not see that. That's pretty cool. Heroes of the Storm has cool stuff.
Did you know that Heroes of the Storm next Monday, 1 week from today, Heroes of the Storm 2.0 launches?
I did know that, and it has like loot boxes, and you can find like skins or cool like account stuff in those loot boxes.
Announcers and stuff like that.
I think you can even get like characters and stuff in it too.
Pretty cool.
Hanamura is not a payload map though. I'm getting a little weird about that.
That's true, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Maybe those Blizzard devs should have played Overwatch first.
Yeah, I'm getting a little uncomfortable about that. Also, Genji.
The Lucio patch is out though right now on live, right?
Yeah, so you can play the new version of Lucio. He's become less of a he's now, the better you are as a player, the more effective he is, essentially. And he's not just kind of like a character that anybody can pick up and play now.
Is it possible that all of the best things in Heroes of the Storm are going to be taken from Overwatch?
I mean, it is like the best Blizzard IP right now, right?
There's tons of cool stuff in Heroes of the Storm, though.
Have you played it recently?
I actually did. I played it for some of the brawls because they have like tavern brawl style modes the way that Hearthstone does, where they have like different rule sets every week. And that stuff is kind of cool.
I think I've uninstalled it since the beta. I don't remember playing after that, really.
You know, the only issue with Heroes of the Storm was there wasn't a diverse enough selection of characters, and they've released a character every 3 weeks since the game launched.
I think there was more problems than just the diversity, but I do think that was one of the key problems. I think there were plenty of other problems, just like the overall game flow, not feeling like strong enough solo, not being able to make like big crazy changes or really good plays in a team fight, feeling like there was just a correct thing to do team fighting wise and stuff like that. I think that some of it, when your team is bad, that you're just not getting enough experience, that you just get like bled to death, even though you can't really like make up for your team's mistakes like you can in League.
I'm excited to check out 2.0 though when it comes out. I might see what that's about.
Yeah, I keep wanting to go back just to do the Genji Oni skin.
I'm feeling it.
Can we talk a little bit about Hearthstone, I guess, since we're already on Blizzard?
Sure, yeah. Journey to N'Goro has been out for about 10 days now, and things are starting to settle down. And, you know, even with things settling down, I do think this is a better, more interesting meta than the last one. And I'm sure that you can refute me, and maybe you will refute me, but I think that this set has done a lot more than other sets to bring cards that were previously not used back into the meta, and also I still think that there are a lot of decks that people haven't made yet and have yet to perfect. I don't think that Secret Mage has been really perfected. I don't think that Druid has been perfected. This sort of there is this sort of, at the top 100 ranks right now of Legendary, there are people playing this like extremely heavy Druid deck with just like tons of big minions, not playing the quest. I forget what that deck runs off of, but I think that there's a lot of cool stuff. Priest is seeing a lot of play, for better or worse. There's a variety of different Zoo decks, and surprisingly, on top of all this, Pirate is still pretty prevalent, which is actually kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. I think that I'm impressed that it's not an absolute shit show like it is usually days after an expansion. I think it's one of the best balanced expansions that they've ever released, if not the best. And it helps that it came alongside the year change, because it lost so much stuff that I still like feel like we haven't figured out what's supposed to be good, or like I don't think any of the decks have really ironed out to like where they are supposed to be played, like the max that a deck could be at. I think there's a lot of good stuff that hasn't settled down, and we're still at the point where it's like for the most part, every class has multiple really strong playable decks, and that there is a good sense of there being a wide variety of very unique decks that none of them are like too out of control at the moment. I think that people, and myself included, are like rightfully annoyed with Quest Rogue, not because it's like totally broken and overpowered, just because like it just can run away with a game. Like it can,
it's not very interactive.
I think the thing that I don't like about the Rogue deck and the Quest Rogue deck is that it just like accidentally wins, and it can do that against basically anybody. Like it can do that. It can beat any deck in the game ever if it draws right, and that feels shitty because it's also something you can't really do anything about. If they're playing, if like by turn three, like you're starting to set up a board and they're not interacting with you that much, and then they already have enough like shadow steps to shadow step a novice engineer or something, that they get it, they get the quest early on 4 or 5, and already you're playing against like 5/5 charges from hand that you can't do anything about, like that really sucks, and there's nothing that feels good about that.
Yeah, I wish that there were more ways to interact with cards in the opponent's hand. One thing I was thinking about when I was when I was just looking at cards today was thinking about some sort of priest card that's similar to Curious Glimmer Root. Curious Glimmer Root is a 3/3 for 3 that has a battle cry: guess a card in your opponent's deck. If you guess correctly, draw it. And maybe something that was maybe more expensive, that guess a card in your opponent's hand. If you guess correctly, summon it to your side of the field.
Yeah, but then you would summon a 1/1 boar, right?
But you take it out of their hand.
But they would never include a thing that would take it away from someone's hand.
I know, I know. That's the worst part. That'll never.
Because it's way against the, like they don't want anything that interacts with the person's hand. They don't want anything that makes it so that you discard, your opponent discards cards. Or
why? What do you mean? How do you know that they said that?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's not fun. Because it's not fun, please, to build up something cool and then to have it lost.
That's why most fun stuff in Magic, playing black cards that stole things or forced people to get rid of things. It's always about just disappointing them, making people feel bad. I like that in Magic.
I mean, it's funny because it's like they feel like that, but then they also have cards like Dirty Rat, where they summon a card, like you throw a card from the opponent's hand out onto the field, and that's kind of similar, where it does ruin.
It's the most dangerous card they've ever made. Like it's the most like why it's the wildest card, I think, and it's still one of my favorite cards.
Yeah, like I mean, that card does what Blizzard is against. Like you can play a Reno deck, and then you can they can spend 2 mana, drop down a 2/6 taunt, and then summon your Reno from the hand, negate the battle cry, and make it so that you can never full heal in a Reno deck where basically one of your win conditions is the fact that you will at some point heal for like 20 plus health. And so they've done that already. So that's, you know, that's a shocking card. I think it's very good though. Like I'm impressed that it hasn't fallen to absolute shambles the way that it usually does. Like Mean Streets being the last example, the meta was largely understood and stabilized like a day or that weekend, you know, like it came out on Thursday and then by Friday, Saturday, the main strong decks like Druid, Jade Druid and Pirate Warrior were really understood. And at that point, it's just ironing out those decks. And at this point, we are not close to having for the first time in a long time, we're not close to having a good idea of what is the strongest. Like there's classes have really strong different directions to build them in. I think that it's unfortunate that like Paladin still feels like one of the worst, where they just don't feel like they have many choices. I think like the only really good Paladin deck really is that like Zoo Paladin, like the mid range Murloc Paladin kind of thing. But
I think there is some really surprising stuff with Paladin, and I think that people aren't really trying everything. At Stonehill Defender is a crazy card in Paladin. It's the 3-mana 1/4 taunt, discover a taunt minion. All of Paladin's legendaries are taunt minions. You could get Wicker Flame, you could get Tyrion, you could get Terran. I don't know that people haven't figured out. Obviously, the quest is awful, but aside from that, I'm not really sure. The thing about this expansion is they released so many good neutrals and so many cards with just above average stat lines that it really has changed what mid-range looks like. Things like Nesting Rock, for example, have really been surprising and have changed what you would expect to see in a deck.
Yeah, I think that that may be the core of why it's such a strong expansion, is there are really good neutral cards that are seeing play like all over the place in like really interesting ways. My favorite, I wanted to like ask you quick, like what is a card that you just feel so strong about? Is there any card that it's like you love it so much that you want to play it in a lot of decks or build decks around
Charizen.
What?
Charizen.
Who?
Charizen the Corpse Flower, the rogue legendary.
Oh yeah, Charizen. All right. For me, it's what?
It's also for me. It's also the Ravenous Pterodax, which is the 4-mana 4/4 Warlock card.
Okay. All right.
Battlecry: Destroy a minion to adapt twice. I love playing a Devilsaur Egg and then on turn 3 and following it up with a Ravenous Pterodax on turn 4.
My favorite card in the expansion is Vicious Fledgling. It is like my absolute favorite card. One of my favorite cards Blizzard has ever printed. Because I really
what
do.
Is that?
It's the 3-mana 3/3 beast. Whenever you attack a enemy when you attack the enemy hero,
that card is very funny.
You get
funny.
To evolve. So
because if it attacks once, you can get Wind Fury
and then attack again on the same turn and then stealth it or get other bonuses. And I feel like it's been one of the most fun cards to play, also because you make some really crazy choices about what next turn the enemy could do to kill it. And you can get out of control with that card, where if you get to attack the enemy hero, the enemy face, and get Wind Fury, and then you do get that other bonus, then it gets to the point where it's like by next turn you get another 2 evolves, and you're able to hide it more and able to keep growing it. And it's just such a cool card. I just love the way that it's such a brilliantly designed card. It has like a perfect stat line for not being out of control. 3/3 at 3-mana is like not an unbelievable stat line, and like stuff by that turn can definitely kill it. Even like weapons, a lot of weapons, early weapons can kill it. But once it starts going, it just feels so strong, and you get to make so many choices with it. I really love the evolve mechanic. So cards that evolve, I've fallen in love with. I like Volcanosaur a lot. I'm hoping
haven't played it much. I want to make more beast decks. The thing is right now, like, you know, I'm still trying to figure out. I'm still like obsessed with Persona, and I play Hearthstone whenever I can. But like the first thing I always try to do is I try to knock out all my quests. And when I'm knocking out quests, I'm not always like playing the most fun deck. I'm usually playing really efficient decks.
Yeah, I got you.
So there's still a lot of things that I want to experiment with and figure out. I'm still trying to like refine a Marsh Queen deck, and that's been challenging.
Yeah, I think this is a good time for Hearthstone because I feel like seeing other deck lists is like there's no like net decking always exists in any card game, but I think Hearthstone is at a really good balance right now where there's no agreed upon net deck for like almost anything.
Yeah.
Like even stuff that I think is like really simple and you would think would have been figured out by now, like Quest Rogue. It feels like if you look at other Quest Rogues, like there are there are different ways to build it, and that there's not a good agreed upon thing of like this is the strongest way to build it. Yeah. So
I don't know about you, but the only deck that I actively dislike is Taunt Warrior. In terms of like, usually playing control has like a lot of decision making, and I feel like Taunt Warrior is maybe the easiest to play control deck that I've seen.
Just because, I mean, sort of, because you're trying to just curve out with taunts and then get Sulphurous.
Press hero power.
But I haven't had a huge problem with them. I feel like Quest Rogue is still the thing that I find the most frustrating just because it has an insane potential to just run away with the game, and because it's like completely non-interactive. Like you can't do anything really to stop the Quest Rogue from completing the quest. They just keep bouncing stuff to their hand. So you never really have a chance to kill the thing that they're bouncing. And that kind of stuff can just get so unbelievably frustrating.
Yeah, I agree. I've actually, I haven't lost to Quest Rogue playing Warlock, Zulok. I'll usually kill the Rogue on turn 5.
Yeah, that's the one thing that makes it so that it's not like out of control is that since it's not doing interacting with the board that much, in a lot of cases, especially in like Zoo, and aggro in general, like just like a beast hunter, like there's not much for them to do because. Like especially if they can't complete the quest early, like the way I'm saying, if they don't draw very well, then they're just not interacting with the board and they're letting you do whatever they're letting you like live your dream in front of them. So I definitely think that Zulok has been the one that is like, that I have the most success with, or like Pirate Warrior, Zulok, Hunter even are all things that have good matchups against it. So at the very least, like as frustrating as the deck can be, I'm happy that there are already known counters to the deck rather than rather than in the past in Hearthstone where there's decks that are like so good but don't have that strong of a counter.
I agree. Yeah, so I'm glad to say good things about Hearthstone because regardless of how good it is, and I know that it's like a batter, you know, it's a miserable domestic abuse thing to say, regardless of how good it is, I'm going to spend time with it. So I'm glad that it's good.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I think when I first got on voice chat with Kirby earlier today, I heard all this click, click, clicking, and I think one of the first things he said was a fucking Hearthstone.
Because I was playing it's a Quest Warrior. A Quest Rogue, actually, and it was just so bad. But it's been good. I'm not unhappy with it for the moment, which is more than I can say about almost any other Hearthstone expansion. I think this is, when this shakes out, I think this is going to be either the best expansion or behind LOE, in my mind.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm happy, and a lot of it's good that we had the rollover and a lot of stuff rolled out. So it's nice.
Would you ever play Wild?
Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know if I would actually. It just feels like weird. It feels like the game, the balance, and the most of the thought and like conventional wisdom of Hearthstone is in Standard. Like that's the agreed upon like serious mode. So, like, I think it makes more sense to practice and play in that one rather than playing Wild and just it being all over the place. I mean, it could be fun, and, like, I think this is a good time for Wild with so many, now that it's so much bigger than it's ever been. I mean, obviously, it just keeps getting bigger, but it definitely seems like it's a good time for Wild, but I don't think it's for me yet. I don't play that much. Like, I play Hearthstone, like, in free time and at work and stuff like that, so it just really makes more sense to like focus on the Standard ladder if I was like so desperate for to play more Hearthstone and like really loved it, I would play Wild. But it's like I have other games to play while I'm at home, and then the short amount of time I get with Hearthstone when I'm free is spent in Standard.
What if you had more deck slots?
I mean, that's what's holding me back, right?
Yeah, it's got to be those deck slots.
It's those deck slots.
You could maybe you could buy extra deck slots.
Don't give Blizzard that idea.
And then also, like, each card has its own durability, and every time you play it, the card moves closer and closer to being destroyed. But you can buy sleeves for the cards with BlizzBucks that protect them from durability loss.
Oh my god.
And then, like, if your collection grows too large, it starts becoming heavy, and you might have to buy, like, extra binders or suitcases for your cards.
It's already, like, Hearthstone is the most expensive card game. Like, it's the most, it's the least friendly game, and I'm sure Blizzard is looking into, because God knows they don't, like, you know what frustrates me about Hearthstone is, like, I'm saying good things about it, and we're this many years into Hearthstone, and there's no match history. I can't even look, there's not even a thing in Hearthstone that I could look at and see, like, how am I doing? There's not even a thing I could look at Hearthstone and see, how is this deck performing? Or what's my overall win-loss ratio, kind of stuff like that. Like, you can't look at any of that kind of stuff. There's no information
on the client. They throw it to third party.
It's disgusting to me. That is an insane thing to me that you have to download. And I'm aware of that it exists in third party client kind of stuff, because I've used that kind of stuff before, and that gives you more information than you would have otherwise. It's insane that Blizzard still has such a bare bones game. There's so many things that, like, they could have and should have added by now. Like, you know, like the deck tracker on the side, like, you know, like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's not even unfair. If you really wanted to get obsessed about it, you could have a thing on your phone or a piece of paper that says what cards you've drawn so far. And you could look at it like, oh, I haven't drawn this, so it's a high, I have two of these cards in my deck and there's not that many cards left, so it's a high possibility that if I draw right now, I should get it. Like, those kind of things exist in third parties, and they don't exist on the Blizzard client, and it still is insane to me.
Yeah.
And it comes at the same time that it's like they raise the prices and they're already the most expensive card game, and they don't, and all the other card games give you good free to play bonuses and help out new players, and this game doesn't at all, but they still haven't grown it. Like, at the same time that, like, Duelist is adding all these extra nice stuff, and Shadowverse adds extra modes and has all these ways to get free packs for new players and new accounts and stuff like that. Like, at that same time that those companies are growing their product, Blizzard is like, no, it's good enough. It's fine. No one is complaining about it. It's totally fine the way it is. We don't need to change this client at all. We don't need to update it. It'll just be like this from till the end of time.
Well, it's all about those, making those new card sets, getting that money.
Yeah, that's how I feel like that's all they do. It seems like Team 5 just sits around designing cards, but they don't design anything else around the game. They don't, like, improve the client or make a better player experience. They just sit around like, well, what's the next card set going to look like? And half the time they fail at that even. Like, it's so damning that there's so many really horrendous expansions, and that's all Blizzard does. Like, at the very least, if you're only going to spend your time developing and trying to balance cards, then get that right. They don't even do that much, though. But none of this is new.
But at least it's good now.
For the time being. Whether or not... It's funny, because it's like, whether or not something bad happens and the meta gets stale, or another expansion comes out and the expansion sucks and then ruins the game, like, you can only be sure that Hearthstone is okay for the time being.
Well, all right, guys. My birthday is on Wednesday.
Yeah, what are you looking forward to?
There's, like, not much going on, so I think I'm just going to, like, play Persona. Like, I have the day off. I'm just going to, like, chill out, eat some good food, play Persona.
Sounds nice.
I'm looking forward to it.
Sounds like an adult birthday.
Yeah.
Maybe in the spirit of Persona, you could try to recreate one of your high school birthdays.
Good to me.
Are there any hot, you know, games that are on the way, or, like...
I want to play Mr. Shifty, which is it's like Hotline Miami, but you have Nightcrawler's teleporting abilities, and it just released on the Switch.
They should call it Mr. Switchy.
When's ARMS coming out on Switch? Arms?
July.
Okay, then never mind.
How cool would it be if in Persona you could pick a birthday and then on that day cool stuff would happen?
That would be pretty cool.
Like I should be able to say my birthday is July 24th and then my
But
friend
that
should
could
all
mess stuff up, right? I mean,
I
that could
if
actually
you had
mess
it on
up
it,
the
I
way
get
that the game
I
works.
think that's the problem is like if you had it on a day that there was supposed to be some event in the game and it would mess things up, like how would the game rationalize that? I mean, I'm sure there's a way, but that would be pretty neat. Play Street Fighter.
All right, how do I fit Persona and Street Fighter all together, right?
You don't have to play Street Fighter for hours and hours. Just get in there, get
You
your
kind of do though, don't
get
you?
get some just get your basic combos down pat a little bit, and then you and I can duke it out, and I could talk to you about the mechanics
Or you could
and
just whoop me is all you're gonna do. I
I'll
know how
play
this
characters I'm
goes.
not as whooping with, but I would whoop you.
You'll probably you'd
I wouldn't like unleash my full strength. I wouldn't like use my mains to kill you.
His main.
I wouldn't be like nothing personnel kid and then switch to
Nothing
Alex.
personal, kid.
And then switch to Alex and then just romp you, throw you in throw loops all day. Not nothing
Who's gonna be
personnel
my
kid.
player two in Death Smiles to get the highest score? To join the Big Bang Cheeseburger High Score Club.
I ate the biggest bang burger almost. I'm at the final Big Bang Burger Challenge. I'm a first mate
What are you
now.
gonna do for the rest of the game? Because I'm pretty sure that if you eat the final burger, the game just ends.
That's what
Like,
happens.
that's
That the
actually
final
the whole
burger is
game.
truly the end boss. And then once you eat that final burger, no matter what's going on in the story, they're like, "Well, pack it up, boys. You're done."
Your rehabilitation is
I know.
complete.
Sojiro comes to your room and he's like, "I heard about that big ass burger you ate. I guess it's time for you to go back home, right?"
No spoilers, please.
No spoilers, please.
Yeah, you go to the Velvet Room and Igor's like, "I heard you eat that big ass burger."
Your rehabilitation is complete.
I'm Redfield.
I only ate regular burgers until the incident.
That's how he got that job. He ate the cosmic burger. Chris Redfield had enough guts, intelligence, and proficiency and charm to eat that burger. When I was trying to call the teacher, I didn't have an in the beginning, I didn't have enough guts, so for like 2 weeks straight I just kept eating burgers until I had enough guts to call my
Why
teacher.
didn't you just the best way to raise guts is to do clinical trials?
I mean, I was hanging out. You know, I hang out to Kemi. She's like my top or second top waifu, and
Wrong. Anne
no,
is your
Anne
top.
is my top
No
waifu
hugs.
now.
No hugs.
I can't get away from it. But up at that at until that point, I was liking Takemi, so I was spending so much time with her doing her clinical trials, raising my guts. But even then, it was like, I wanted to call my teacher so badly, so I had to eat enough burgers to be able to do it. That's a weird like. Thing to think about because it's like you just get so fat and full of burgers, and then you finally are like, "Yeah, I'm definitely ready to call my teacher and invite her over to my house." And then when she comes over, she's like, "What's wrong with you? Why do you look like a diabetic now? Why can't you? You have no energy and you can't move. Have you been eating giant burgers for the last 3 weeks in preparation of calling me?"
Yeah. All right, that's the deal with games. Thanks, guys.
It's a light
Nice
week
games.
because we're just we're it's a light week because we're playing Persona and so much of Persona is not worth is not we're not able to talk about.
Felt
Persona.
heavy. Felt emotionally heavy, though.
You think so? We
I
do we like knock it out of the park? Did we
don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of talk about, jobs, romance, getting stronger in your personal life, and also strengthening your interpersonal relationships. I feel like that stuff sometimes it doesn't always feel like progress, you might question like if you're wasting time not being productive, but life is, a journey.
Yeah.
Everything is productive in some way.
I think we all learned something about hugging girls. Don't hug
Yeah, don't.
a girl until you know that's the one. 'Cause you can't take back that hug. Think about that.
You can't.
Once you hug that girl,
Not
it's over. She's gonna get angry on Valentine's Day when she won't give you her chocolates.
Oh God, it's so true.
I wish that I wish that America had that version of Valentine's Day, that the one that the Japanese have. That's such a
Yeah.
better version of Valentine's Day in my mind. The way the
What do
Japanese
they
do it
go?
is that it's a holiday for the girls where they give chocolates to the guy that they like. Like in America, we still don't have that kind of thing. It's still like conventional, like heterosexual dating is still like the guy makes the move. The guy gives the girl the chocolates and says, "I want to date you." It's
Yeah,
not.
and in Japan, it's a lot better. It's just the opposite. And also, you're not supposed to touch each other or look at each other.
Yeah, or
How would
it's
that
or
change anyone's
truthfully in
day
Japan,
here,
it's like
really?
no one ever dates because they just have this insanely declining population, and no one wants to even hang out because they're all hikikomoris.
Is that going to change your Valentine's Day, anyways?
If a girl came up to me and gave me chocolates, oh yeah, it would make my whole year.
Who's going to give you chocolates?
Makoto?
Oh. Fair. That's fair.
Should you take us out?
This has been WTDG Podcast. You can find us online at WTDGpodcast.com, on Twitter at WTDG Podcast, or on iTunes at What's the Deal with Games, where you can rate, comment, and subscribe to the show.
Thank you, Ryan Galloway and Crying, for the use of your music. We use the intro and outro Revive off the new album Beyond the Fleeting Gales.
Thank
Galloway's
you.
finally
This
playing
is.
Persona now. He says the dialogue is bad. I don't agree with him at all.
Thanks, guys. This is Sean. May death smiles upon you.
This is Ryan, the collector. I'm collecting that name for myself.
This is Sean, the hug interest.
James, did you get the picture I sent you?
Yeah, I didn't understand it, so I didn't respond.
You didn't read it?
It's too complicated.
Just read the top of it.
Too much.
I did. There wasn't too much. There was one sentence that I wanted you to read.
And baby makes three.
That was the sentence. Did you not read it?
And baby makes three.
I'm reading you the sentence. Here it is, an excerpt from Stephen King's It. Oh shit. The bung-studded pinalo, Richie said. $5 is enough, sweetie. You, me, and baby makes three.